Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since eggs. And you listen to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Dylan Naidu, men's transformation coach. Welcome to the show, Dylan. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Gavin. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely a pleasure. Dylan, I think it'd be brilliant for you to tell us a bit about your background and, you know, how you got to where you are today.
Sure. So I am, as you know, Dylan, I live at home with my partner and my little boy is nearly 2 years old. And I got into sort of the coaching side of things. I went to Loughborough University, did sports science, and kind of felt a little bit lost when I came out of university. I knew I wanted to work within the sports and exercise sector, but just wasn't sure when and where to kind of go with it. So when I graduated, I actually, you know, started working in Marks and Spencer's and just kind of was working in retail, really. And it wasn't really until a semi-celeb came up to me at the tills and kind of said to me, you know, you should be working in the gym, you should be helping people, you know, because you're build, etc. And it was kind of like the light bulb moment for me where I was like, you know what, that is one of my passions, and kind of rode with it. And that's kind of led me to the path today where I'm now a full online coach. So I coach people online. I started basically personal training where I was doing one-to-one PT, but realized quite soon on that I wanted to have a big impact on people's lives and a bigger impact worldwide rather than just sort of local to my area. And in conjunction with that, get better results. And that's what led me to online coaching.
It's brilliant. That's quite amazing, isn't it? When, you know, it doesn't happen to everybody, but someone comes up to you and says, you know what, you should be doing that. I mean, that's like a light bulb moment. How did you feel and what was going through your mind at the time?
You know what, it was kind of like a sliding doors moment where it kind of changes the path that you're on for the rest of your life. It's really, really weird when I think back to it. And yeah, just fortunate that person kind of highlight that to me, because it was one of those things that kind of pushed me to go on that journey and follow health and fitness.
Brilliant. Well done. Let's talk about what you do. I mean, who do you coach?
So, you know, if people look me up on socials, they'll see, you know, my profile, men's transformation coach. And the reason for that is really I resonate with men a lot because of myself going through a fatherhood. I'm a recent dad, you know, less than 2 years. I'm juggling sort of running my own business as well as family, as well as obviously being inspiring to my clients. So for me, I resonate a lot with the guys that are going through that, you know, juggling their health and fitness with their business or career and their family. But I do have females on the program as well.
I'm just going to get to him at the end, but then that's brilliant. Sorry, go on.
You know, men and females aren't different in terms of coaching too much, you know. So I do have females on the program that are achieving amazing results, phenomenal transformations, which you'll see probably on socials when I post that. But it's just on the front end, obviously, you know, guys tend to resonate more with the content that I put out and the life that I'm leading as well. So, yeah. So I coach men to essentially get into the best shape of their lives whilst managing their family and their business or career. And usually for them, it's the last piece of the jigsaw puzzle that they haven't been able to kind of fix. They haven't been able to kind of solve. They may be doing really well with their career. They may be doing really well with their business. That might be thriving. Their family life might be great. But the missing piece of the puzzle is usually their health and their fitness, which has kind of eluded them their whole life.
Basically, so you teach all ages. Would that be right? Or is there certain clients you have in certain more age groups or...
I do coach, you know, guys from the age of really in their 20s upwards, but most of the people that are on the program tend to be in the slightly older age bracket, middle age. So they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s most of the time.
Okay, so kind of that middle age bracket, basically.
Correct, because they tend to be the ones that are with families, kids, and more responsibility in terms of, like, you know, running a business or further on in their career. And that's when they've decided at that later stage in their life to kind of tackle their health and their fitness, because usually it's about preserving life, improving their quality of life and extending it for their kids, for their family, and really being able to perform best, their absolute best in life.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's quite amazing. I think people feel more settled at a certain point and they just want to improve their health. Is that some of the, well, I mean, what are some of the reasons people come to you like around that age bracket?
Yeah, I'd definitely say, I think, you know, guys around that age have been used to putting themselves last. You know, they've been used to wanting the success, wanting the money, wanting to further their career and better themselves that way. And then they've wanted to kind of start a family. But usually the health and their fitness is low on their priority list. And it's not usually until later on in life when they are a dad, or when they do notice that their confidence might be, you know, lagging in the boardroom, or when they're at work, or they're noticing that, you know, they can't keep up with their kids, for example, and their health is flagging. That's usually the time where it's kind of like a wake up call and they're like, right, I need to do something about this. You know, this has been the bottom of my priority list so that I can, you know, become, you know, semi-successful, what have you, and have a family. But now I've really got to start taking care of myself. Otherwise, I'm not going to be here much longer, sort of thing.
Mm, no, absolutely. No, of course. I mean, and I'm just thinking about, you get people that have their, maybe their own businesses, their careers. How do you help them try and balance out, you know, and the fact they've got families as well. And how do you help them balance that out and at the same time hold on to a good exercise regime?
So Gavin, that's a very good question, because, you know, that I think that's a real big benefit of online coaching. Online coaching isn't what most people think it is, which is like, you know, your Zoom-based workouts. Online coaching is about really providing like a holistic solution to someone's health and their fitness. And within that, there's a big part of that is lifestyle management, learning how to fit all these things in, you know, learning how to manage life in and amongst your results and your health and your transformation. So it comes down to education. It comes down to, you know, like I said, lifestyle management, being able to understand, right, if I'm going traveling with work, for example, how am I going to manage my nutrition? How am I going to manage my training? If I'm, you know, got a social at the weekend, how am I going to manage nutrition in that respect so that I don't undermine my health and my results and the journey that I'm on? It's that's kind of where online coaching comes in. Yeah, there is an element of coaching when it comes to exercise and training, but it's about the other hours that are going to lead to better results and essentially a transformation for life, because I don't want people joining the program, getting a result, leaving, and then reverting back. I want people to have lifelong results. And that's where the coaching aspect kind of comes in and teaches them how to manage their life in and amongst, you know, their health and fitness journey.
Do you sometimes feel like a bit of a life coach as well?
To be fair, there are elements of life coaching, because, you know, I don't necessarily deal with a lot of issues with regards to outside of work, but it is life coaching in the sense that it has a profound impact on their life. You know, I like to call it like the ripple effect. You may be dealing with a physical transformation and a physical change, but that really is the tip of the iceberg. You know, it goes much, much deeper than that. And that's what you cannot see in the before and after photos, is that deeper internal change that leads to really a life transformation. It could be, you know, a catalyst for job promotions because someone has a newfound confidence. It could be the fact that, you know, someone finds the love of their life because they feel more confident to approach a male or female, you know. There's effects on the program that we've had where, you know, clients have reduced their antidepressant medication because they're in a much better place mentally. So it can have such a profound effect. And when people, you know, maybe come onto my page, maybe look at my socials, they think it's just about the physical change. It really isn't. The physical change is like what I call the guaranteed result when someone joins the program. But it's that deeper transformative change that I'm more interested in.
Do you know what? The reason why I ask that question is because you get to know people over time, and then, do you know what I mean? And I'm sure they start talking to you about their personal life, and you know, maybe they're because they're going to be talking to you, I'm guessing, about, you know, I've got, you know, really busy with business, and I've got this going on, and family, I've got this going on, and you know, how do you weigh that up? How do you balance it? What extra? And in that, I'm guessing people will start talking to you about stuff as well. Do you know what I mean?
100%, because you know, those areas of their life lead to stress, anxiety at times, and as a coach, it's important to have an understanding as to what those areas are that may be causing stress at a specific time. So yeah, there is, you know, sometimes issues with relationships, friends, family, socials, business, you know, whatever it is. And yeah, you do get to know clients on a much deeper level, which is in a way very, very rewarding. You know, it's not just surface level stuff. So yeah.
Does the exercise regime and diet regime change depending on how old the person is, how busy they are, and that kind of thing?
100%. You know, it's not how people would compare online coaching. They would think that it's probably something like Joe Wicks or, you know, a templated workout or a templated nutrition plan. The way online coaching, when it's done properly, it is basically everything is bespoke to the client. So when someone does jump on board, you know, whether they've got certain demands with regards to family, work, how many days they can train, etc., all of that is taken into account when it comes down to their nutrition. That's specific to them, their lifestyle, their preferences, training. Same as, you know, same with that. Everything has to be specific to the client, because the biggest thing that will lead to the best results is adherence. And if a client can adhere, everything should be based around maximizing adherence. And if a client can adhere to the program, that's what's going to lead to the phenomenal results that they're after, and essentially a return on their investment.
Absolutely. And I'm guessing obviously people want to make the most of it. And do you provide do you work with the person on like exercise regimes and what they could eat, that kind of thing, to structure their week and that kind of thing?
Yeah, 100%. And more importantly, Gavin, it's not just about giving them, you know, a nutrition plan that they follow for the rest of their life, because that doesn't teach people how to eat and how to manage their own nutrition, because life crops up, you know, whether it's socials, whether it's traveling, people need to know and understand how to manage their nutrition. So for me, it's about, yes, providing that structure and that plan that they can follow, but more importantly, try and educate them and teach them and coach them on how to manage that themselves, so that, you know, when they do eventually leave the program, be it 6, 9, 12, 18 months, you know, we've had people on the program for more than 2 years, but when they do eventually leave the program, they're self-sufficiently managing all the aspects of their life so that they can thrive in body and health, but also in other areas of their life. It's not taking a hit, you know.
That's fantastic. So you work with people and you've kind of, it's like you kind of start them off on their journey with that solid foundation, and then when they feel confident, they go on their way. I'm guessing they come back to you maybe afterwards for a little few pointers and that kind of thing.
Yeah, sometimes clients tend to you know, stay on the program for about a year to 2 years on average. But when a client does leave, usually they should have all the tools, the knowledge and the understanding to be able to maintain that transformation for life. That is the goal. You know, I'm not about sort of quick before and afters with clients. I'm not about, like, you know, getting a before and after for Instagram, being able to post that and then say, look, on your way. For me, it's about, I'd rather a client be serious and invested long term initially, so that they'd never have to tackle this problem again. It's solved. So that's kind of how I run things in comparison to maybe, you know, other coaches or what have you.
Brilliant, brilliant. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So, Dylan, thanks for that. I mean, really good insight into, you know, how you work with your clients and what you're doing. Can we talk a bit more in detail about the online coaching and what it entails? I mean, what the program might look like? Do you show diagrams? Does someone watch you exercise? You watch them exercise? And how does it work?
Good question. So most people think online coaching is Zoom workouts, and they've got that kind of perception from...
I'm guilty right here. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay, mate.
I was going down this because I'm not sure. That's all.
that's, you know, why I'm here to kind of, you know, expand people's knowledge as to what it entails. And yeah, most people think it's Zoom workouts, and they got that from sort of the days of COVID, where people were, you know, transitioning online, doing Zoom workouts and stuff like that at home. But it's actually far from that. So I basically program people's lifestyle, their nutrition, their training, every aspect to essentially lead to a great transformation, a great body transformation. And it covers basically all bases from nutrition to training. But more importantly, it's about, you know, providing a holistic approach to essentially guarantee a transformation, guarantee a result. And where people would kind of compare that to one-to-one personal training is, you know, with one-to-one PT, and this isn't coming from an angle of berating personal training, because it isn't, because I used to be a PT for many, many years. But with personal training, it's very limited in what you can do in that hour. You know, someone may see a PT for 1 to 3 hours a week, and it's just the training aspect of things. Now, if someone is looking for a phenomenal result when it comes to a body transformation and changing the way that they look, changing the way that they feel, changing the way that they perform on a week-to-week basis, it's going to provide only an hour's worth of training, or three per week. Outside of that is where the magic happens. And that's where, in my mind, online coaching is far superior, because we're managing all the other areas outside of the gym as well. So you have the plan of action. Everyone needs a plan of action, you know, not just to know what to do when you're with them, but when you're not with them, you know. Everyone needs accountability and support. And if you're only seeing a client for an hour to two or three a week, what's happening outside of those hours of PT? That's where most people fall down and fall short and undermine their results. And then the big one is education. Like I said, people need to know how to manage their lifestyle. They need to have much deeper education around nutrition, not just training, but nutrition is most of the battle when it comes to fat loss and weight loss. So online coaching kind of covers all of those areas, in and amongst training as well. So everything's programmed for a client. And basically, when they come to me, they are outsourcing their health and their fitness to me so that they can kind of focus on just executing on the plan, as well as learning the process and learning along the way.
Do you give, like, could it be weekly or every other week or monthly? Does it vary how often you see the person?
So, you know, we have weekly calls. It's very regular contact. Like I like to say to clients, it's like having a doctor on call in your back pocket. You know, anytime you have a problem, people are paying for speed. They're investing in speed. As well as knowledge and experience, but they're investing in speed, which is most of the problems when it comes to, you know, not being able to achieve the results that you want to achieve. A lot of the times it's impatience. So people need to have wins quick, and they need to have someone on call that's going to be able to answer their queries, their problems, and kind of solve their problems, give them, you know, ideas on how to overcome challenges and problems when they arise, and give them the solutions that they need. And that's where, you know, online coaching and communication is so important.
Absolutely. And it sounds as well. What kind of results do people usually want? What are they looking for? Like maybe weight loss or more tone, more muscle? What do you tend to find that people want from the sessions?
So usually on the surface of it, it is a body transformation. It's getting leaner, it's losing weight, it's building a body that they're proud of, with which is usually more muscular, stronger, performing really well. But when you really kind of pull back the layers of the onion, it tends to be issues around confidence, around energy, around extending their life, being a positive role model for their kids, being a better partner, being a better father, being able to command respect at work, in the workplace, and feeling confident in doing so. So it can be a variety of reasons, but usually the physical transformation is like the catalyst for the life changes that happen thereafter. You know, like I said, it could be job promotions. It could be feeling confident when they're up on stage presenting. It could be, you know, pushing it outside their comfort zone, coming on a podcast, whatever it is. You know, those are the sorts of things that people are actually looking for on a deeper level. But on the surface level, at the tip of the iceberg, it's that physical change, getting leaner, getting stronger, you know, building muscle. So it's kind of like a, how can I say it? It's kind of like a bit of an onion. On the surface, that's what it is. But deeper, when you actually peel back, it's a lot more.
Do you get people that have come to you because they've had maybe a health scare and they want to change their life now? And I think you did mention life expectancy and that kind of thing.
100%. You know, there's an obesity epidemic, and, yes, you know, we've really got to do our absolute best to kind of tackle that. And clients do come to me when they're at rock bottom and at the end of their tether. Yeah, 100%. And usually it's a health scare, or, you know, they're just really just not feeling their greatest self, you know, and they realize the potential of where they could be or where they should be.
And do they talk to you about some of the experiences that they have and what might have caused them also to feel less confident at all? Maybe going back a bit more psychologically deeper, do you get that kind of discussion happening as well?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Usually that conversation happens in almost like the consultation phase, because it's important for me to know, you know, I'm very thorough in how I assess clients, and it can feel a little bit intrusive at times, but it's for me to get a really clear understanding as to why a client has reached out, you know, what the importance of this result will mean to them, and the impact that it's going to have, not just on their life, but those that are closest around them. So it's really important for me to have that understanding and really get clear on what's led to them reaching out and why they want to make such a profound change to their life and their body.
Do you get people that talk about even going back to childhood, maybe? Yeah. And maybe whether it might be in school, maybe bullying, or maybe, with, you know, with girls, and do you get that kind of discussion happening as well?
Yeah, 100%. You know, a lot of issues stem back to from childhood, even, you know, even with myself. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. It's quite complex. A lot of the issues when it comes to nutrition, and when it comes to what maybe has led to them on the path that they are and where they are at the present day before they make this change. And a lot of the time, because people have tried and failed many times before as well, there's always an element of, you know, self-doubt and belief issues in themselves. But I think what most people crave is someone to believe in them before, you know, they believe in themselves, someone to believe in them that they can achieve whatever they result they want to, you know, when it comes to not just physical change, but like optimizing their health and getting back on track to essentially, you know, look and feel and perform at their best.
And it goes very deep, doesn't it? I mean, I could tell that when you were talking about early on about when you first meet them and you're online and you talk, it goes into different aspects of their life and you're helping them balance business, families, etc. I thought to myself, you must be having some quite in-depth discussions that stem back much further, you know? Yeah. So it really does go to a deeper level, you know. Talk to us about, let's say I've come to you.
Yeah.
Typically, how does it start off? I'm saying to you, like, work's really busy, you know, trying to catch up with my parents is, you know, I'm trying to catch up with my parents here and there because they're getting older as well. But at the same time, I find it difficult to fit in, wanting to work out and even, you know, dieting. Where do you start with someone like in that situation?
What you've got to kind of really highlight or get clear on is, what are your maximum standards and what are your minimum standards? So your maximum standards will be things that you can achieve in your health and your fitness when things are really easy in life. You know, when everything's flowing really easy, when you've got lots of time on your hands and everything just feels effortless. For some, that might be 4 sessions of weights every week, 10,000 steps a day, a little bit of cardio and nutrition being, you know, 10 out of 10 in terms of quality and adherence. Then you've got to kind of assess, right, if life is really tough and it throws a spanner in the works, which it regularly does, what are the bare minimum standards that I can keep to when life is tough? You know, that might be half of what your maximum standards are. So it may not be 10,000 steps per day. It might be 4,000 steps per day. What can you focus on that's going to maintain progress where you're currently at right now? That could be maintaining good quality nutrition. May not be tracking your calories and weighing your foods out, but it may be making sure that everything's cooked from scratch, making sure that it's, you know, limited on processed foods. It's really healthy, for example. It might be, you know, prioritizing protein and vegetables on your plate, those sorts of things, rather than being so granular and micromanaging every little detail, if that makes sense.
It does.
So that when you are really busy, whether it's with family, whether it's business, or, you know, even when you're traveling, you have a bare minimum set of standards that are going to, at the very least, maintain where you're currently at, not lead you to regressing. But the problem that people have is they have almost like an all or nothing mentality, where it's either 110% or it's either nothing. And there is a middle ground. There is a middle ground that you can kind of take and still make great, amazing progress. And people underestimate what they can kind of achieve with that mentality over a longer period of time, like over a year. And they underestimate what they can achieve in a year with that level of mentality. And they overestimate what they can actually achieve in a matter of weeks.
I think it's us as humans, isn't it? We're built to like, right, we're going to do this now. It's going to be all guns blazing. But actually, it's sometimes you've got to, I suppose in percentages wise, you've got to maybe put 20% on this aspect, 30% on that aspect, 50% on that aspect. So we can't always give our full to everything, basically. We've got to, and this is where I suppose you have to help people with balancing their lifestyle out.
That's it. What I would say to anyone listening to this is, if you're tackling your health and your fitness and you're feeling overwhelmed, think 1% better every day. Okay, 1% better over every day may seem very, very small on the surface, but over the years, over the months and the years, it compounds. Now, what does 1% look like on a day-to-day basis? For example, if you're not currently walking and tracking your steps and you're, say, very sedentary, you sit at a desk and maybe you're hitting 2,000 steps per day or 3,000, aim for 4,000. You know, it's not a big jump to 10 to 11,000. That small little change will have you burn more calories throughout the day and be more active. So that's an example, 1% better. You know, if, for example, you're finding yourself snacking on a lot of processed foods, chocolate, crisps, etc., try to do better with that in terms of removing 1 or 2 days where you don't have anything. You have a rule where you don't tuck into those sorts of things. You know, having more protein on your plate is an example of 1% better. Okay, I wasn't eating a high protein diet or an average protein diet. It was low protein. Now I'm going to try a medium-based protein diet. You know, that's an example of changes that are small and incremental but can have a huge impact in the long term.
That's brilliant. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Dillian, thanks for that. That was very useful, you know, knowledge then in terms of how you help people. Do you make people accountable? I know it sounds quite harsh. I know it sounds quite, as it, you know, but I'm just thinking like in terms of just making sure people are on the right path and hitting the right goals and stuff like that, you know?
So people will feel accountable to me initially because they lack that accountability with themselves, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be in that situation. So people are accountable to me. But like I said, moving forward, you know, whether it's a year, 2 years down the line, you're kind of eventually trying to get someone to being able to manage things themselves and being able to be accountable to themselves and hold themselves and check in with themselves and say, right, what have I done well this week? What have I not done well this week? What went right? What went wrong? What can I do better knowing what I do now that, you know, having gone through this week? So it's about checking in with yourself eventually. But yeah, people are, that's the thing. There's high levels of support and accountability with coaching online because you're in contact with someone a lot more. That's a real big important thing to be able to hold someone to a higher standard so that you can, you know, get the best out of them essentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I can understand that. I suppose at the same time, you don't want to put too much force in them either, I'm guessing, because you seem like that kind of person where, you know, there's certain aims people have to try and hit, but then at the same time, you don't want to push them too much either. Would that be right?
Correct. You know, these things have to be realistic. It's good to have, like, you know, to kind of have a coach that stretches your vision, but that's kind of like the grand result. That's like the grand vision as to what that physical change might look like maybe a year down the line. For example, we have people in the program that, you know, have lost over 25 kg, huge amount of weight, completely transformed their body and more so their life. But, you know, if I would have not pushed those goals onto that person, but even people lack vision, they lack belief in themselves. So a goal like that would scare someone and it would lead to overwhelm. What I need clients to focus on and what I would implore your listeners to kind of focus on is the short-term actions that are going to lead them to that grand vision. And rather than focusing on that vision of themselves or that end result that they want, to focus and become more obsessed with the process of what's going to get them there. You know, if you want to be leaner, if you want to be stronger, if you want to be healthier, what are the actions that you need to do on a day-to-day basis that are going to take you there rather than the result? The result will come as a byproduct of the actions. So it's really important for people to kind of become more focused on that and the short-term change that's going to happen as a result of that rather than the grand vision, which can be quite scary at times.
Can you give us some examples of some of the myths that our listeners might have heard of or currently believe in?
Yeah, there's tons. Where do I start? There's loads, you know, there's tons from smaller level stuff to, like, you know, eating small meals and often will stoke your metabolism, you know, lead to better fat loss results, better weight loss results. That's not true. There are, you know, other small ones like don't eat carbs after 6 p.m. You know, restrict your carbs in the evening because you're not going to be using them. You know, we now know that, obviously we've known for a very long time through thermodynamics, that overall caloric intake is going to lead to results. If you're in a calorie deficit, consuming less calories than you're burning on a day-to-day basis, you're going to lose weight, whether those calories are from carbs, fats, and what have you. And it doesn't matter what time you eat. But then you've also got really big things that people, you know, really believe in because of things in the media or the news, things like, you know, meat's unhealthy for you. That's quite a big example. But, you know, you need credible sources to kind of get rid of these myths, really. You know, the research shows if we study like the populations that live the longest, have the greatest concentrations of centenarians, so people that live above 100, those areas in the world are what we call the blue zones. When you study them, all of them, bar two, are eating meat. One's vegetarian, one's vegan. The rest of those areas where people are living the longest are all eating meat. So we can see from that at the very least, you know, their nutrition and consuming meat isn't undermining their health. But That's not what you hear in the media, you know, and it's very interesting. There's other myths like, you know, meat causes cancer. And the way that they've kind of come to that conclusion is they've taken meat eaters that are known in studies, meat eaters are known to be unhealthy. They smoke, they drink, they don't exercise, they're sedentary. So the level of incidence with cancer and meat eaters is high. But if you were to take a health-seeking meat eater, i.e. someone that is conscious about their health, like me or you, Gavin, or most of these people who are going to listen to this podcast, people that are interested in health and want to take action, health-seeking, there is no difference, you know, because we don't, most of the people who are health-seeking don't smoke. We exercise. We care about our health. So, you know, it's a gray area. And when clients kind of like invest in me as their coach, they've kind of had enough of all the BS in the industry where it's just, you know, they don't know what's true and what's not.
The 2 points you've mentioned are so, I've been going by that for years, like thinking, oh, I'm pescatarian, so I don't eat, like, yeah. It's mainly fish food, shell food, and vegetarian food. So it doesn't make a difference to me. But I've just heard, like, oh, red meat's not meant to be good for you. It's bad for your heart. The other one was if you eat past a certain time, like 10, if you're eating at 10 or 11, it tends to kind of stain your body more and you won't digest it properly and all the rest of it. They're two that I've heard over the years, like, massively, you know?
So the second one is kind of true. Like, you don't want to be eating too late because it does have an impact on your digestion. You won't digest it optimally, and it probably will impact your sleep a little bit as well. So it's kind of better to eat early in that respect. But in terms of a fat loss perspective, it's not going to have an impact on fat loss. Overall caloric intake is going to have an impact on fat loss. And that's where most people are looking to have an impact is on weight loss. And that's why they tend to restrict their eating times to, you know, not past 6 p.m. or not past 7 p.m. because of that.
Right, right, right. You speak a lot about transformations, not just being about the body in your content socials. Can you explain how this affects people's lives, maybe in terms of their mental health too?
Yeah, sure. It has a massive effect on people's mental health, you know. Like I said to you before, there's been clients that have reduced or eliminated their antidepressants as a result of how great they're feeling from good quality nutrition, from a good exercise regime, and focusing on their body and their health. And mental and physical health, yeah, mental health as well. I deal with clients that are, you know, under a lot of stress a lot of the time as well, whether it's with family and business or their career. And people need coping mechanisms. And it's not just about training and nutrition. Like I said, online coaching is about lifestyle management. So, you know, we delve into other things in the program like journaling, mapping out your days before you go to bed, meditation, sleep hygiene, you know, how to optimize sleep, all these different things which can have a profound effect on someone's mental state. But more importantly as well, you know, it's confidence and what a body transformation can bring to someone's life in terms of their confidence and the doors that they may open as a result of that. You know, like I said, it could be a better relationship with your partner, a better relationship with your kids. You know, it could be finding love for the first time and having the courage to do that and date again. You know, no matter what it is, we've had so many different sorts of stories where it's that level of impact on a deeper level.
Absolutely. I hear all the time, like, social media and just the news, or just generally watching over the internet, how people, they can't promote healthy living, exercise more than they can already, because they talk about how they were depressed, they were in a really bad place, and how they really feel that exercise and the changing of lifestyle help them come out of that. I'm not saying it works for everyone, but I've just heard that there's a lot of people that will come forward and say how much it brought them from a bad place. They were really depressed. And like you said, they were antidepressants. Then they stopped doing antidepressants. Because the thing is, with antidepressants, my understanding is people are meant to use it as a beginning point. And then they're meant to build on that in terms of their lifestyle, become more social, maybe, hopefully, if they can, maybe incorporate exercise. And the hope is that people will leave, will be weaned off antidepressants because they had that booster. You call it like a booster. And they kind of, and I'm not saying everyone can do it. Some people feel that they need it, which is fair enough. But my understanding is it's also to help people boost and go on to move forwards and use other methods to come out of depression.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I mean, that's beyond my scope of practice. But my personal opinion is that, people can become dependent upon them and not come off them for the rest of their life. And really, the goal is to have things in place that are going to help you manage your symptoms and help you manage how you feel. And that may come down to exercise. For some, that may come down to therapy, counseling, different methods. But the goal is to always, in my mind, is to get someone off from using those long term. Like you said, it's in my eyes, it's a short term solution to kind of get people on the right track to feeling better about themselves. But it's not something that in my mind is sustainable to, for the rest of their life sort of thing.
Absolutely. Can you give us just a few points for our listeners in terms of, how would they take action so they can improve the way they look and feel?
100%. So in terms of like a nutrition standpoint, I would say from a nutrition standpoint, look for the low hanging fruit. Okay. The low hanging fruit, the things that, like I said before, are easy to change and not too taxing on things like willpower and change in your life. Okay. So number one, I would take a more clean eating approach to nutrition, cooking from scratch. And that way, what you're going to do is you're going to remove a large proportion of calories that may be coming from processed foods and hyper palatable foods, foods that we gravitate towards because they taste very tasty. They're very nice. And we tend to overeat on them, right? The second thing would be to reduce calories from liquids. That could come from alcohol, that could come from caffeinated beverages, it could come from sauces and condiments. If you can reduce the amount of liquid calories coming in and have more calories that are satiating, i.e. keep you fuller for longer, that's going to have a positive effect on weight loss. Okay. The third thing would be to look for food swaps with less calories. So it may be going from a Coke to a Diet Coke. One has calories, one doesn't have calories, right? It could be going from a bag of crisps, which is calorific, to a bag of skinny popcorn. It could be going from full fat ice cream to Halo Top ice cream, which is lower in calories. Or another example in terms of protein would be like skin on chicken to a chicken breast. These are little swaps that you can make that will save a lot of calories. And it may not save a lot of calories in that meal, but like I said, 1% better every day, those calorie saves across a longer period of time can lead to massive change. They compound. A priority for most people should be feeling fuller for longer, increasing satiation. And there's two things that I can say with regards to nutrition that will do that. Number one is a higher protein diet from meat, fish, poultry. That's going to lead to you consuming, studies have shown that it leads to you consuming less calories throughout the day because it keeps you fuller for longer. The other thing is a lot more vegetables on your plate, which is going to provide more food volume. So more food on your plate without the associated increase in calories because it's lower in calories. So those two things, protein and veg, more of that on your plate will lead to you consuming less calories and losing more weight and feeling better about yourself. The last thing that I would say, or last two things, is hydration. Make sure that you're hydrated. 2 to 3 liters a day as an average will have you performing better, better mental clarity, as well as sort of feeling a level of fullness as well, more so than if you were dehydrated. And the last one, which I think is really, really important, is think about changing your food environment at home. If you've got foods at home that are hyperpalatable, that are trigger foods, i.e. you overconsume them and you tend not to be able to control yourself around them, create barriers to acquiring those foods. Yeah, remove those foods from your direct food environment and create barriers to getting those foods. That might be just not buying them, not keeping them at home, not keeping them in the cupboard, because you're unlikely to then make the effort to actually go out and purchase them when you are feeling like you could have them, you know? And when you're feeling like stressed and where emotions are kind of heightened, if those foods are in your direct level of control and in your direct food environment, the tendency for you to overeat on those foods is tenfold. So that's a good few nutritional tips that I think might help some of the listeners.
Dylan, thanks you so much for today. It's been really helpful. Where can people find you if they want to use your services or just get some advice and stuff?
No problem. My Instagram is at DN Physique. DN Physique Coaching. So DN Physique Coaching on Instagram, and same on Facebook. It's Dylan Naidu Physique Coaching. You can put a search in there. And if anyone needs help, if anyone wants help with regards to their health, their fitness, and really wants to take their body and their health and even their mindset and their confidence to another level, and they've kind of felt stuck and they know that they can be achieving more and want to achieve more, by all means, reach out and I'll see if I can help.
Dylan, thank you so much for today again, as we said, and your time.
Say that again.
Thank you. Sorry, my voice is going. Thank you for your time today. It's been really helpful.
Thank you for having me, Gavin. I really appreciate it.
And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.